Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us today. And joining me, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams in the studio. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you doing, Steve?
So great to have you with us.
Well, I'm glad to be here. And I was supposed to be on with you guys a couple of times, and I wasn't due to technical difficulties. One thing for me to be sick, but it's the other thing for the system to be sick. Anyway, we don't have any antibiotics for that. But let me just mention, it's getting very close to our Life Recovery Conference. And Chris, you're going to be speaking at this, and you always do a great job. And you're talking about recovery, and you're talking about addiction. And just tell folks a little bit about what you've done to study addiction and why you're a real specialist in this area in your practice and the speaking that you do.
Yeah, we focus so much on addiction as behavior. But what I've really tried to study is addiction and how it affects us emotionally and also how it affects us relationally and spiritually. And so in uncovering what happens in addiction, that it takes away our ability to feel in the world, it takes away our ability to relate in the world, it also takes away our ability to create in the world. And so recovery is about ultimately being able to feel again, being able to connect again, and then also being able to create again. So I take a little bit different angle at this, trying not to take away from the things that we need to do to engage in recovery, but to really understand what's going on behind the scenes and what ultimate recovery really looks like.
What do you think about this little saying where they say addiction is a real live physiological problem? It has emotional symptoms and consequences, and it has a spiritual cure. What do you think about that little summation?
I think that summation deserves one big amen.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it certainly it has emotional symptoms. It's got spiritual symptoms too. And of course, the longer you're in the addiction, the more the physiological symptoms.
Yes.
But I like for us to talk about it as being something that is real live physical problem, that cells
yes.
get addicted. I mean, at the cellular level, everything is craving for that substance. It's not just a demon of addiction. It's a real live physiological problem.
Well, Steve, when we understand the biology of addiction, then it increases our understanding, our compassion, but it also increases our ability to attack the problem and get to the right solutions.
Yeah. And one of the things that, even though the solution, of course, is spiritual, and you're not going to recover from this on your own. I like talking about the physiological part because, you know, no matter how smart you get, if you're an addict, you're still going to have a body that got addicted to mm-hmm. whatever it is. And no matter how spiritual you get, your body is still addicted. And then even if you're delivered miraculously from the addiction, well, guess what? You're not delivered into character. And that's the kind of stuff we talk about at the Life Recovery Conference. If you've never looked at this 12-step path and process from a Christian standpoint, you'll love it. And it's going to be right there, October the 6th, Southern California, Mariners Church. We'll all be there. You can find out about it at newlife.com. When we come back, going right to those telephones, since we've talked so much, we'll just let Sherry take the first call.
Yeah, I love that idea.
In the meantime, if you need some help, you know, that number's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We would love to help you. We'll be back right after this. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. I'm really looking forward to being with a lot of wonderful people at our Life Recovery Conference. It's a great time to get a little boost in your recovery, gain some new insight from some great people who understand addiction, recovery, and all that the 12 steps can do down the path toward healing and hope and wholeness. Come join us for the Life Recovery Conference. It's always a great time for anyone who's interested in what are those 12 steps and how better can I utilize them in my life and my recovery. You can even learn how to run a group. Maybe you never thought about doing that, but you'll feel competent and confident after the Life Recovery Conference.
The Life Recovery Conference is coming to Orange County, California, Saturday, October 6th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to liferecoverygroups.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and as I said, we're going to go right to the phones. Glad you're with us here today. And how about we talk with Sean all the way from Dallas, Texas, listening on KWRD. Sean, you are on with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris is with us, and Steve, but we're going to let Sherry answer the whole thing. All right, here we go. Do it. Hi.
Well, hello.
Sean. Hi.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Two questions and a quick point that might help a previous caller. First question is there a ministry out there that does a really good reconciliation program for couples that have been divorced for several years? Second question is, can we actually get divorced biblically? And I know most pastors and people in ministry will say, well, you know, Moses said that if there's infidelity, that, yeah, you can give your wife a certificate of divorce. But Jesus' response was, well, you know, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses gave you permission to do that. But that's not what my dad originally planned. So the implication is that, no, actually, we really don't have biblical authority to divorce just for infidelity. I know a lot of pastors these days say, hey, if there's physical abuse, then yes, you need to divorce. At the minimum, you need to physically separate because they don't want the liability of the
person
who's seeking counsel. So.
But wait a second. Jesus was very specific about two instances when divorce would be acceptable. Now, I think that whenever somebody is unfaithful, you have two different types of unfaithful. You have a person who is unfaithful one time due to a lot of different things that could lead to that. And then you have what you might call a serial killer. And so it's very, I think, advantageous to everybody, especially when kids are involved, even in the situation of unfaithfulness, that a person do everything they can to forgive and to reconcile when that other person is repentant and remorseful. And that repentance and remorsefulness may not be instant. That may take some time. But it is also, we could say, the people that stay married after somebody has been unfaithful and that person does nothing to grow in character, that they are not repentant or remorseful. For someone to stay with that spouse under all circumstances, I believe that you actually start to enable evil in your own home. And there's no place in Scripture that says anybody should enable evil. So it's a very complex issue that I think one of the problems that a lot of people have is they hear some dictate and expect every situation to fall into it. But Jesus was quite clear that a person who is in a marriage to an unbeliever, and that person abandons them, then the believer is free. Secondly, when somebody is unfaithful, Jesus was quite clear that you are free to divorce that person. There's no arguing that. Is it the best thing? I don't think so in every case. It's just saying you have the right to do that. Now, did you have a specific question about your situation? And I'd let Sherry handle that.
No, I mean, the two questions I asked do apply to my situation, but it's pretty complex. But getting back to the first question, do you know of any ministries that have a reconciliation program for couples that actually are divorced?
Because we have had people
trying to get people away from divorce first.
Yeah, we have had people come to our marriage weekend, and they have been divorced and they've gotten remarried. And it's not just that they get remarried, they want to get remarried. And we've got people that have filed but not actually divorced, and they get back together and they have a great marriage. We have an amazing success rate with people in really tough situations, and of course an amazing success rate with people that just want a better marriage. But if somebody says to me, what is the best thing you could do if you've been divorced, I would say, you would want to come to our weekend no matter what else you did, because here's what we're going to do. We're going to help you see why the original problem happened, and we might help you see that nothing is different. And if nothing is different, then you got a lot of work to be done before you remarry. That would be our perspective on it. But I appreciate you calling us, and let me send you a copy of Milan and Kay's book, How We Love. It is a good one. I think you'll like it. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want any information on any of the stuff that we do, especially these workshops, it's right there. And, I'm not able to work my call screener for whatever reason here, but I want to go now over to Marguerite from Elkhorn, Nebraska. Hi, Marguerite. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi there.
Hi. What's going on in your life today?
about almost 5 years ago, I met a man, we got married, had a kid, and then some things that I thought were quirky then became huge abusive things.
Like what?
And, you know, I've had a couple protection orders and some things like that.
What did you think was quirky? Abuse. Can you tell me what was quirky?
Yes. We were trying to do a project together, and if I just didn't do everything his way, he'd get mad.
Yeah, that's I would say that would be...
I know a little more now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, interesting to call that quirky, but I get that. So what's the question for us, and I'm going to let Sherry handle this. Sherry, what is the question
okay,
for Sherry?
He's been out of the house since March, and from a protection order.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a biblical counseling program.
Mm-hmm.
He has apologized and taken, taken responsibility for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
In that, he's also decided that I'm an abuser also, and that I've done all these things to him,
mm-hmm.
which I can very, very honestly say that there are some things that I have occasionally done because other things were already happening that were not right on my part, but I'm absolutely not an abuser of him.
Okay, so what's the question for us? We get it.
My question is, does the biblical counseling for an abuser, how often does it actually work? He's getting upset with me because I'm not partaking in biblical counseling. And he says he wants to get the marriage back together, and everything in me wants to stay away from it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So how often does it work?
So I just did a litmus test here for you. I just did a litmus test on the program for him. And you know how much it's working? 0%. 0%. You know why I know that? You know why I know it's not working at all? Because he just...
I want to know.
Well, he's putting you into the perpetrator role and he's being the victim. He's denying. Right. He's got court orders, my dear, right? These are big offenses. And so when you have somebody who has perpetrated on you, offended you, harmed you to the point that there has to be legal activity, and then that person, after some time in a biblical program, comes back to you and says, hey, you're actually the perpetrator. You're the offender. You're the one that hurt me. You're the abuser. And I'm the victim here. And he's denying responsibility.
Yeah, he did the abuse because of me.
Okay. So guess what that is? A 0% lack of insight. He's not seeing it. And sometimes I'm not saying that the Bible is filled with amazing tools and morsels, and it's there to wake us up to what our behavior is. But the Bible also talks about some of us who become fools because we're not listening. We have wax in our ears. And sometimes we use the Bible or biblical programs is someplace to hide behind, and that becomes a new weapon. So I am really concerned about you because I don't think he's in humility yet. And Steve, you guys both know this, Steve and Chris, one of the huge things about recovery is humility. That's the cornerstone.
Right. Well, I don't know of any biblical counseling program that would stand for a man who's honest, who honestly believes this, that even though I have court orders against me, even though I have been verbally and physically abusive, actually it was in reaction to her. If it's a true biblically based counseling program with people that are competent, then they would say to him, you know what, if you really believe that to be true, we're going to have to send you somewhere else because, see, you have a personality disorder and you're going to need a lot of help beyond just biblical truth being infused into your life, you see, because we've been giving you truth and you've twisted that into blaming your wife. And so your personality disorder kind of disqualifies you from staying in this program. That's what I would see happening in a real, live, competent, biblically-based counseling program. And I would also see it happening with non-biblically-based programs when somebody sees that maybe a person has a problem beyond what they're used to or capable of dealing with.
So wise, Steve. Thank you for being so clear.
So he's not in a good program, and he's not responding to the good program. And I think he's got something far beyond whatever you thought started as quirkiness.
And whatever you're looking for from him, because... Mm-hmm. Marguerite, there's something in you that can't see health. And so health for him will look like full ownership of his behavior, including his emotions and reactivity. And it will look like empathy, the ability to understand the damage that he's done. If you don't have those two things, you do not have an ounce of progress. As Sherry said, he has 0% change.
Okay.
Yeah, so we can't really make a judgment on biblically based counseling programs and effectiveness, but we can, based on what he said, give you a predictor of the outcome here. And so what I would be doing is I would be going to meet with the people that he meets with, and I would sit down with them and say, so here's where we are. You know, he's done all these things, police have been called, this kind of stuff, and so... He's now blaming me for all of this. That's just a reaction. So I called some professionals, some people that think they know what they're talking about, and here's what they said. Either the program isn't a good program, or he has a personality disorder that kind of needs additional help beyond the program. Which one do you guys think it is? Is he doing what you're saying? Did you tell him, come back and tell your wife you're responsible for my problem. I can almost guarantee you 1,000% that nobody there said, you know what, I really think your abusiveness was just a reaction to your wife. How sad that is.
Right. Okay.
Okay. I'm really glad you called, and I'm going to send
you
a copy of Take Your Life
Back.
Yeah, I'll send you Take Your Life Back. I think it will help you a lot. Oh, man. There is a certain person, type of person. You know, they try as they might, they can't accept full responsibility for what they've done. It's something that started early in childhood, and it never got better. Nobody healed that wound. It's so sad. You just heard an example of it. Can you imagine a man coming back in the name of biblical truth saying, you did this to me? I really feel sorry for him, and I feel sorry for her. But there's always hope. So we'll pray for them. We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live, and I'm really glad you're with us today. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we've got Larry Sonnenberg in the studio. And Larry, before we talk about finances here, you go to every single Every Man's Battle that we do. And we've got one coming up October the 5th there in D.C. And I'd just like you to tell folks what you see when you go and watch these guys come in on Friday and leave on Sunday, and to do it as quickly and dramatically and powerfully as you can.
The real summary is this. I get a front row seat watching the Holy Spirit do an amazing work in 48 hours. Guys come in, the workshop, first session is noon Friday. We're done by noon Sunday. And these guys, the turnaround in their hearts, minds, spirits, hope, is amazing. They come in thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want to be here. My wife told me I had to be here. And you know, all these things, I'm embarrassed, I feel full of shame. They walk out feeling armed, they've got hope, they feel reconnected to God, or maybe connected for the first time. And it is powerful.
Mm. Well, if you are married to someone who struggles with sexual integrity, 75% of the phone calls come from a woman first, and So don't wait for him to do. You pick up the phone, call us, let us help you, and it could be the beginning of something totally different for you and your marriage and for him.
And if you're in a crisis, two-thirds of the guys that come to that workshop are in crisis.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
That's okay.
So, Larry, talk to us. Okay. What do you want us to know about our financial situation here at the end of September?
Well, it's rather typical. We need continued support. We have a lot of hope. We see Club New Life growing. And if we can keep that going for months and months and get into a year or two, that's going to resolve financial stuff for us. But so we need you to continue with that. I want you to know why we do what we do. And we got a little note from a lady, and she said, "The therapist you referred me to is absolutely the best therapist I've ever been to. I originally came to her to help me get over an abusive church experience, but it turns out she's helping me with all kinds of stuff. Your service is such a good deal. The Lord has definitely used your service to make a difference in my life. Thanks for being there." I just thought it's kind of nice. We talk about workshops. We talk about the radio program. We don't talk enough about the counselors, the folks in the trenches that can help you. So if you need help, give us a call. But if go ahead.
And, you know, another why is that previous phone call, because we just would never stand for someone going back to their wife saying, "You're the reason."
Yeah.
In a situation like that, you could trust that. So people, if they give $30 a month, they get access to a lot of amazing video content from the video library, but they also get some amazing teaching on a thumb drive, 71 teachings, and these are really the best teachings that we've got, and Chris and Sherry have done some of these teachings, and they just are, you know, things just on grief alone. Everybody's looking for a better resource or a resource at all on grief, and there's a wonderful, wonderful presentation on grief by Dr. Henry Cloud and Jill Hubbard. So it's just our way of saying thank you. That's $30 a month. One guy just the other day upped his monthly giving from 30 to 400. That's the kind of commitment that people have, but $30 a month makes all the difference in the world.
Thank you. Call us at 800 New Life. Sign up.
Please do. Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones, and how about we talk with Richard. Richard's calling from Amarillo, Texas. Prairie dogs abounding out there, and he listens on Sirius XM satellite radio. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi. I enjoy your show, and in Amarillo, we're still doing things bigger and better.
That's nice.
My question is kind of directed towards Sherry. I was listening to the program today, and she was talking to this lady. Well, this lady had been single, I think, for 10 years, and Sherry set her straight. Sherry, I want to know, you said before you made a commitment, you was going to go through 20 dates. How did you find these dates? What was it, Christian Mingle, or how did you find these 20 dates?
Great question. You know, because it felt like
trouble.
Well, I know. And, you know, it can feel like I take walks, you know, down the beach or along, you know, through a mall. And I remember looking at people and going, you know, there's somebody for everybody, but I just am looking for one person. And it just seemed like such a challenge. But you know what I did? I have two amazing authors that I work with here who gave me books. Henry gave me his book, Finding a Date Worth Keeping. And Steve gave me his book, Is This the One? And I read both of them. But I did exactly what you said. I went on to Christian Mingle. I actually went on to two different Christian dating sites. I also got connected in my area. So there were three churches, and I had to drive some distance to get to them that had singles groups. And guess what? I started going to all three churches because I had to up my numbers. I couldn't just wait for somebody to show up on my doorstep. So I did that. I was just speaking in Austin, Texas, and I don't know how far Austin is from Amarillo, but I did a women's single conference. And I tell you, there was 150 beautiful single women in that room. And so I kept... There's a lot of beautiful women in Texas. But getting...
I know,
but getting face-to-face, I went to some meetup groups. Meetup groups means that if you like hiking, You get into a meetup hiking group. If you like fishing, which I did, I got into a fishing group and I went out with a bunch of guys on a boat for overnight and like fishing for men, but none of them ended up being the guy. But I had to get around people so that I could get to know people and decide if they were worthy of going on a date.
We'll talk a little more about this right after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 9th to the 11th.
There are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and you know, Richard, I think the main thing, you know, Sherry took this on kind of as a full-time job kind of thing, or part-time job. She was very intentional about it, and I certainly did the same thing before I got married. I met 20 different people or went out with 20. I didn't actually go out with totally 20 people. I mean, there were
the last four, you can tell us, were in a Starbucks line.
Yeah,
right?
You know, I might have just
he cheated a little bit on the backside.
But I was really intent, and it really is great. And a guy like you who is personable and, you know, you've got a great laugh and a great outlook, I really think you really have to just, as Sherry said, get the numbers up. You've got to meet and more people go where they are. And wherever you are, be willing for somebody to be absolutely not interested in you at all and just be able to deal with that kind of rejection. The first person that I ever made a contact with, you know, before it was over, she's saying, oh, so that's why you're so emotionally unavailable. And I thought, oh, thank you so much. That's great. You go home now. Anyway, it was exciting. But
I'm going to become more emotionally unavailable right now.
I'll send you this book, Is This the One? And it's got all of this stuff in there. And God bless you. And I hope that something goes well for you. So let's go to Cindy, Denver, Colorado, and she listens on KRKS. Hi, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. What's going on?
You have a book on how to love a narcissist, but everything I read on the internet says turn the other way and run as fast as Charles Bolt.
Yes. Well, this is for people, you know, you might have one of these as a child, or you might be married to one, but this isn't for those who are dating somebody to figure out how they can make it work. Are you married or single? Which one?
No, getting out of a bad relationship. But I also found out he's a gaslighter. I saw a counselor last week, and he just happened to mention that word, and I heard it before. And then I said, well, what's that? And he says, look it up. You'll be amazed. I was. It just hit the nail on the head.
So what did he do? How was he? Yeah, how was he gaslighting? What was he? How was he really hiding the truth from you?
Just making me doubt myself. Always twisting the truth, lying. It just went on and on for years, and I just don't have the energy anymore to even try.
For years, it went on.
Four years I've been dating.
Oh wow. So are you?
But then
finished
there's the honeymoon
now?
Period, and everything's fine, everything's good, and then you know it just goes back and forth until you're so enmeshed in it, you don't see what's going on.
Yeah, but here's the thing: what are you doing now to get yourself back? Because if you have said goodbye, have you broken it off with him?
Yes, but he shows up. I'm not going to do it anymore. I made up my mind.
Yeah, you know, the people that are done, they change cell phone carriers and cell phone numbers, and you know, some even have to move, and some have to get a restraining order. Chris, what do you think when you hear about this? I mean, 4 years of dating, this must be so painful. What do you think?
Yeah, the first thing that Steve was alluding to is that, Cindy, it's just boundaries at this point. No, you want to cut off, you don't owe him anything. That a true narcissist is an incredibly dangerous person, but the key aspect, I believe, for you is that the ability to perceive truth gets diminished, and that's a really, really dangerous place to be. And so it really is doing your own work to get back to a place of trusting truth. What is truth? How do I identify it? How do I know it? And part of it, too, is trusting yourself. What is my own experiences? How do I feel? What do I think? And then owning my behaviors, but also what is real and how I act in the world. And so really restoring that trust with yourself is critically important during this time, as well as like perceiving the world through the lens of what is real. A radical commitment to reality is really what you need here.
Yes, and through a counselor, I'm seeing that through research on this and getting a book on gaslighting. And once I know what's going on, it makes sense, and I can readjust now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna send you.
It's gonna take a while.
Yeah,
I'm gonna send you two books. We'll send you the book on understanding and loving a narcissist, but Intimate Deception, we'll send that from Sherry, because you talk about gaslighting in there a lot, don't you, Sherry?
I do.
And you really help women understand the concept. What else would you have to say to Cindy?
Well, you know, it's so funny that you say 4 years, because I wrote a little booklet here on narcissistic victim syndrome, because I was in a relationship for 4 years, too, with a narcissist. And I'll tell you something, Cindy, and you know this as much as I know this. It's when they come back and show up, it's so seductive, because they tell you, I want you, I love you, I need you. But the problem with that is that if I could add the dot, 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 I love you on my terms. I need you on my terms. I want you on my terms. And it really does make it very difficult to have two people in a relationship. So I had to get really sober-minded, just like you are, and I'm proud of you, and stay connected to people that held me accountable so that I didn't go back. And I continued to walk forward, and I had to get that man and his pursuit out of my heart, because I so wanted to be pursued by a man, and I was so desperate, like a Sahara Desert, that I was really vulnerable to that kind of attraction. So I had to get filled up myself and love myself and build some friendships that were loving and investing, so I didn't need him anymore.
Yeah. And you know, if he could see the reality of his life, and he could be honest, he would say this to you. Okay, now I know you don't want to be around me, but see, the reason I'm a narcissist is I have this wound from my childhood that if you really saw that wound, you would understand why I have no self-awareness and why I cannot handle anybody walking away. I need to stay in control, see, because it's going to wound me again if you walk away. So I don't care about you. I don't care how you feel. We got to take care of me. I mean, after all, I am a narcissist. But see, it's all about a horrible, devastating, whatever, vacuum, sometimes abuse from childhood. And this is a very, very poor, defective coping mechanism that gets that person through life. A little narcissism in folks is a healthy thing. It says, okay, I believe I have value. You know, I'm not just an animal here on earth. I'm created in God's image. But and you wouldn't even call that healthy narcissism. That's just a little bit of ego strength, you could say. Mm-hmm. But what he has is a sickness, and you now need the support of a lot of women around you and some really good, wise counsel so that you're recovering, you're healing, your feelings are taken care of, and you're not susceptible to this anymore.
And if I could just add in one more thing, Cindy, one thing I want you to focus on for yourself is just asking yourself the question, not without pressure and certainly with no shame, but what inside of me is allowing myself to give away my truth and my worth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be a huge, huge question there. And I just hope and pray you've got people with you that can answer that question for you. All right, let's go to this is going to have to be our final caller. By the way, intimate deception going to Cindy and understanding and loving a narcissist. And I'm glad that she's out of that. Linda, Seattle, Washington, you're going to be our final caller today. How could we help you? What's going on?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have been married to my husband for about 8 years, and it started out really wrong. Even while we were dating, he was extremely jealous all the time, just really baseless kind of jealousy. And his family is riddled with divorce and infidelity. And I am a PK. You know, everybody's been married for 50 gajillion years, and there's been none of that. So I've never even been exposed to that. And I was just kind of, I was 21 when we got married, so really young. And I just kind of thought, well, if I marry him, you know, then I could just prove to him that I love him very much and that, I would never do that to him. And obviously, you know, it was foolish because that's not how it works. And so for years and years and years, it's been just not good. There's been good moments, but never good years, you know. And so I've never, ever been unfaithful to him. But my marriage got to the point where it was just kind of dead. There's been emotional abuse, things like that. And this last year, I had an emotional affair, and he found out recently. And he filed divorce papers, but then all of a sudden now he's coming back and he's like, well, I want to keep working on it.
Okay, hold on. We'll delve into this deeper after this.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As we're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Linda. Linda, you were explaining that your husband was so jealous, and then eventually the marriage really troublesome, and then finally you end up in an emotional affair. Then he wants a divorce. Now you say he wants to work it out. What do you think is the reason for his change of heart?
I think that deep down he loves me, and we have two little girls together. He says he doesn't want to break up our family. I was devastated at first because I know that he's really broken, but, I mean, everything inside me wants to save my marriage. He's unwilling to go to any counseling or anything. So now he's telling me he'll go to counseling and he'll do this. But at the same time, I feel that I'm kind of in bondage to him because he's like checking my phone. I mean, tracking me. And I understand that I gave him reason for that now. But I feel devastated because for years and years and years, and I've never been that kind of person, but because I never felt loved by him, I guess I kind of was pushed to that. And that's not me making an excuse for what I did.
So
I guess I just feel really lost because there's people telling me, no, don't get back together with him. Just kind of be free. But then there's people telling me, no, this is your marriage and you have to kind of keep at it. So I don't know what to do.
Well, I think I have a different suggestion here. And Linda, when those moments that you connected with this other person in that emotional affair, how did that feel?
It felt like nothing I had ever experienced in my marriage, to be honest with you.
That's exactly what I want you to tell him. I want you to tell him, I had this emotional affair. I own it. I went outside the marriage. There is nothing correct or right about it. But I had an emotional connection that I had been looking for a long, 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 long time. And I don't want it with this person. I want it with you. And I know that we need help to get there. I'm looking in this wrong place for exactly what I'm looking for in you.
So it's not him being willing to get help. It's the two of you need to get help together. And I love what Chris is saying here. You're inviting him to be part of something that's different than what you have. And he really does need to step up here and own not your emotional affair, because that wasn't his decision to get into an emotional affair. That was yours. But look at how the setup was. He's got to see it. I wasn't there for her emotionally and spiritually. And there are places like our workshop where you guys can get back together and you can have those needs met. You can have what you had in that emotional affair with him. And here's the thing. I wouldn't listen to those people that tell you to get out of that relationship. It just may take you longer for him to come around. But you've got to ask him for something more than you guys just living together for the kids. But because of the kids, you need to really work on this to continue just to focus on saying to him, we need to be working together to come together in a different way. Otherwise, we're both going to be miserable. You are not a happy man if you have to check my phone and feel the things that you feel and that I've seen you feel from the very beginning of our relationship. Sherry, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, so this is the deal, Linda. When it comes down, if we were just to unpack and look at your husband's wound, you told us, you gave us some great information. He came from a divorced family. There was infidelity. So guess what? He has got a wound in his heart. And when there's trauma, when there's a wound, for him, it wired in what I had. I had this. I had what he has. And it's I call it the deadly duo. The negative beliefs that got wired in at the crime scenes of the infidelity in my past were this: I can't trust anyone, and I can't trust my own judgment. Now, if you were living with a man who couldn't trust anyone and couldn't trust his own judgment, what do you think? How do you think he'd behave with you? Like he has over the last
way?
Yeah. He hasn't been able to give you his heart because he's got these wounds that he's not addressed yet. So I had to do some deep work. I had to get some EMDR, eye movement desensitization and processing. I had to go back and unpack those wounds and get myself into truth so that I could even be in a relationship with another person. And so I hope upon hope that you have him listen to this call and that you have him listen to my voice from someone who understands. I'm not judging him for where he's been. I'm understanding him for where he's been. But I'm saying, you got to go get your own wounds healed, because you can't attach well with your wife as long as you have these two things in place. It's not good for either one of you. So he's going to be checking your phone. He's going to be checking, because you know what? You just walked into his wound, right into it. And so you're going to need to honor his looking at this point, but not without him also agreeing to do his own work. He's just looking because he's trying to get safe. He's looking because he's going, I have evidence, right? And so don't arm wrestle him. Don't push back. Don't not agree. Say, I understand. I understand what I did harmed you. And I want us to get help. I want to fight for us. Like exactly what Chris and Steve said.
And no matter what, you've got to get into some kind of a recovery program with healthy women and start to work on every part of you that needs to grow. Discipleship group, Bible study group, recovery group. My wife does an amazing ministry with women that struggle, and I am so grateful that they've got a safe place in the church. And if your church doesn't have one, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll help you start one, because you need that kind of a place. All right, well, we're about out of time. I want to ask you to help us, support us, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But please let us help you. And I mentioned it earlier, any of you folks who are struggling with sexual integrity, we've got Every Man's Battle coming up. It could change everything for you. And then, of course, if you're the woman who's living with this guy, why not call now before it gets worse? We tell ourselves all sorts of things to kind of maintain the status quo. And we think, well, maybe it'll get better, but most likely it gets worse. The sooner we intervene, the less consequence, the less pain for everybody that's involved. So all you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Maybe it's not a workshop that you need. Maybe it's time to get a counselor where you say, I can't do this by myself. I need to get one of these folks who've dedicated their whole life to trying to communicate biblical principles on a one-to-one basis. And they've studied, and they've got experience, and they're good at what they do. You know, you should always, I think, judge something by the results, by the outcome. And when you see someone who is in any kind of program that walks out of there and does something that isn't loving, well, how can that be a biblically based program? The Bible says the most important thing is love. It's to love God. And then Christ says, that's number one. He says, number two, but equally important, is to love your neighbor as yourself. So we want to help you love better, love deeper and richer. And that should be the result of everything we do with you. You have to call us and let us help you, though. And that number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Sherry. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.